Bible's filled with prophecies about the days that were in front of them and about the days that are still in front of us. The Bible's filled with all kinds of prophetic things. Did you know, to the best of my ability to learn, everything that needs to happen for Jesus to come and you and I to go has happened.
Already.
It's done. I saw this thing and they were excited about Nostradamus. And I thought to myself, you know, I've got the King James. I don't need Nostradamus. I trust my Bible more than I do anything or anybody.
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
So we're going to look here for just a little bit. Joel chapter 2, if you'll turn there. Verse 28. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. What you don't know, if you're unsaved, what you don't know is this right here. That when you truly give your heart to God and are converted, you're no longer by yourself. You're no longer doing it on your own. You now have somebody living in you that is helping you. Is that right, church? We call him the Holy Spirit.
Are you in Joel or Job?
Joel?
Joel, thank you.
Joel chapter 2. The Bible says right here, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Amen. Amen.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes this morning. When I was young and strong and healthy, I could preach 10,000 words in 5 minutes. And I'm glad that my age and my physical abilities have slowed me down a little bit in the pulpit, that I might let you leave with something when you go. I want to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on the I wills of God. The I wills of God. He said in Joel here, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Right.
That happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to live with men on this earth. And there is nobody on the face of the earth that has not tasted in one way or another the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
They've tasted it somehow, one way or another. They've tasted it. It might have been in a small way. Passing the church house on Sunday morning, watching all the people pull in, and all of a sudden it dawned on you that you're not ready to go, you're not where you need to be. You can count on the fact that that was the Holy Spirit of God that was speaking to you. I will pour out all my spirit on all flesh, all of it. Everybody is going to understand the Holy Spirit of God. God spoke to me many times before I was finally saved, but he only was obligated once. If God speaks to you, be careful about what your choice is, whether you say no or yes. It may be the last time you ever get that choice. Is that right?
Amen.
So I'm just going to go through the book here a little bit, and you can pray for me for a little bit, and I'm going to let you go. In Hebrews chapter 6, he said, I will bless you. I will bless you. I'm going to ask you right now, is there anybody in here that knows God that ain't been blessed by him? God said, I will bless you, and when God says I will, you can count on it. It's going to happen. There's no way that God ever promises you anything that won't be fulfilled. In the book of Hebrews also, he said, I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them upon the tables of their heart. And I love this right here. When I got saved, nobody The Holy Spirit of God had made his way into my life, and he made me to know the things that were good and the things that were bad. Say amen.
Amen.
I like this right here. He said, I will send my messenger in the book of Malachi, and he will prepare the way for me. And he was talking about John the Baptist when he came out of the wilderness preaching, and he was shouting, prepare you the way of the Lord and make his path straight. He said, there is one coming after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to bend down and loose him. He will baptize you not only in fire, but in the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, he will prepare his way before me. He said this right here. He said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. Christian, listen to me. He wasn't just talking about preachers and apostles. He said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And God gave you and I the opportunity to take something to a lost world that nobody else is qualified to give it to. I love it. I was gone a while. I took some stuff into the Do It Center for Peggy, and I was gone and gone and gone, and I come out, and she didn't ask me where I'd been. I could tell by the look on her face she was wondering. I said, I've been in there witnessing. I've been in there telling those two women in there what they needed to do to get right with God, because I have the keys to the kingdom, and everything that I bind down here will be bound there. Everything that I loose down here will be loosed over there. The I wills of God. Jesus said this right here. He said, be not afraid of those. Be not afraid of those that can kill the body and afterwards cannot do anything with you whatsoever. But I'll tell you who you will fear. Fear him who is able. I love it. I will tell you. I will tell you. Yeah, it's good to have a preacher in the house. It's good to have a preacher in the church. But I'm telling you, it's God that does the talking or nothing this time. He said, I will. I will. I will of God. Don't be afraid of those that can only kill your body and afterwards can't do anything else. He said, but I will tell you who to fear. Fear God, who is able to cast both body and soul into hell. Fear him, the I wills of God. I will. And the Bible says in John chapter 14, I love this one right here. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Brother, I'm not going to just roam around heaven. I'm going to meet the one that saved me 42 years ago. I'm going to meet him. How about you?
Amen.
He said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he might abide with you forever. I love that. You're not alone. Don't go through things that are heart-wrenching alone. You're not alone. God gave us someone to comfort us. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. I'll tell you one thing, I am glad. I am glad that the past is going to be that forever one day for every one of us. Say amen.
Amen.
The past is going to be exactly what it is for every one of us. Jesus said in John 14, I will not leave you comfortless. I will pray the Father that he might send you another comforter. Now, brother, I don't know about you, I guess I really do. When you're going through really, really hard times, there ain't nothing in this world can help you like the comforter can that the Lord sent back to us.
Amen.
Is that true?
Amen.
Every time something horrible happens, I have a still small voice that lives inside me that speaks to me from my heart. And I thank God for that. Jesus said this right here. He said, now you have sorrow. He said, but I will see you again. And your sorrow will be no more. And you'll know nothing but joy. He said, I will see you again. Don't you understand that's the greatest promise that you and I have from Christ? I will see you again. You haven't met him for the last time. You've met him for the first time, but you haven't met him for the last time. You and I are going to see him again. Thank God for that. There has been problem after problem after problem made known here in this church out this morning. Problem after problem after problem. And God has an answer and a comfort for every one of those problems that's been made known here. It's hard to face people that you love who die and leave. We prayed one time. Jesus prayed one time. And he said, I will, Father. I will that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. I've never seen the glory of the Lord yet. I've tasted it. I'm looking for anybody else. I've tasted that glory. I have been close to that glory. I have felt that glory. But I've yet to behold that glory. I know a little bit about what it looks like because on the mountain that day with James, Peter, and John, they described it. As he went up the mountain, he began to be transformed in front of them. The farther he went, the brighter he got. Oh my. You and I are going to be so pretty on that day. We're going to be dressed up. We're all going to be dressed alike and nobody. Fashion's gone. Aren't you glad?
Come on, brother.
No wokes. No wokes. Fashion's gone. All of us are going to be satisfied looking at the one that we behold. He said this right here. He said in Romans, he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will show compassion to those that I will show compassion. Listen to me. Those of you that are not saved yet, that need to be, nobody can tell God who he can save and who he can't. Nobody can tell God who he shows mercy to and who he can't show it to. I love this right here. This one of the greatest examples of the mercy of God was on the road to Damascus and the Apostle Paul going down there to bind Christians and to lock them up and to put them in jail. Some of them he stood there and gave the approval for their death. Your brother Stephen, Paul stood there, Saul he was called then, and gave the okay to kill that man of God. The Bible said he held the garments of them that stoned him. He never did get over that, but he got beyond being charged for it. You may never get over the sin in your life that's been there, but you can get beyond the charge for it. You can get beyond the judgment of it. You may never. How many of you in here? I want to share something. How many of you in here? I want you to think of just one second. How many of you in here? I got something in your mind that you'd give anything if you could forget. Yeah. I'd give anything for some of the things in my mind that I could forget. But you can't. I can't get over them. But one day I'll get beyond them. I'll get to where I'm going. I'll get to where I'm new. I'll get to where I'm just like him now. I'll look like him, talk like him, walk like him. The last thing I want to speak to you this morning. He said in Romans chapter 9, I love this right here, he said, I will call them my people. For God to look at you and say, you're mine. You're mine. You don't belong to the devil anymore. I don't care what he says. God says, you're mine. You belong to me now. Brother, when people get saved, in a moment's time, they know who they belong to. They're God's kids now. I've watched people sit in this church for going on 11 years. And I've watched them as the Holy Spirit worked with them. And I've watched their face. It would be stone cold. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And then all of a sudden it would start getting soft and warm. And then pretty soon you'd see them try to hide as they brush away too. And then you watch the Lord transform them in front of you as they walk. I'll never forget as long as I live. I was preaching a revival in Kentucky for Brother Sterling Bolin. And I never will forget. This man, he stepped out in the aisle. And he stood there and stared at me. It's a long church. And he was way back there. And he stood there and stared at me. I never will forget it. And I have a holy boldness. I'm telling you, I don't care. You ask my wife if I care. I don't care. And I looked at him and I said, come on, buddy. And he looked at me and he was staring kind of tough at me. You know, I'm like my old brother Charlie. He's going to be with the Lord. He said, if the Lord told him to go whoop Russia, he'd break a switch and say, I'll be right back. Amen. There's a holy boldness that comes with God when you want to walk with him. He'd take a step and he'd stop. himself wrapped up in his own arms like this, and he would bend down in the aisle like this. I didn't know what was going on. He'd look up and I'd say, come on, buddy, come on. I love doing that. Come on, because when they get out there, I got them. I've got them when they get out there. They ain't going back to their seat. See, if I can get you out there, you're going to be in the kingdom in a moment's time. And he finally started walking towards the altar. He bowed down at the altar, gave his heart to God. I didn't understand why it went the way it did until I found out that he had been talking real bad about me down there in Kentucky over being a paid preacher. He was burning me up down there, and I didn't know it. He'd come out to see what it was all about. That's where you're in trouble. Men that are God's men don't preach for money. They'll preach for you whether you've got a nickel or not. And there he comes. It was wonderful. God saved. I love it. Or the night that I got to talk to a cage fighter. I was on an altar with a cage fighter. He looked like he'd been beat up 100 times. He had cuts and scars all over his head. And he was hard. And I couldn't get to him. And I finally, the Lord quickened my mind. God quicken your mind if you let him. And I asked him, I said, sir, I said, have you ever fought somebody that you couldn't whip? And he grinned. I was in his territory now. I didn't realize it, but I got in his territory. And he grinned and he said, yeah. You could tell he had scars on his head till he had lost. And I asked him, I said, do you remember the moment when you realized you couldn't win? And the look on his face changed. And he said, yes, sir. I said, do you remember when you surrendered? He said, yes, sir. I said, you're fighting somebody here you can't beat, sir. The best thing you can do is surrender. And he gave his heart to God. Looked up and his wife was on the other end of the altar getting saved. It's not what you think. The I wills of God. I will has nothing to do with the devil or the world. What God says is what will take place. If you're here this morning, and children, listen, you get saved, bad things happen, and the first thing the devil wants to do is to make you question what happened between you and God. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. I've got a surgery in the morning. I'd rather take a foot than let it go to. Bad things happen to good people. They do. But nothing happens that God can't get us through. And he will. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you into the earth. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, don't you think it's time? What are you waiting for?